Hello, and welcome back to Green Living Podcast, a podcast focused on sustainable living, low waste, and exploring slow living. This week's guest is Adam from Leaf Shave Razors. Adam's career prior to starting Leaf Shave was in medical technology, developing and launching high-tech robotic systems for orthopedic surgery uses. Now as a co-founder of Leaf Shave, Adam enjoys building his business, creating jobs locally and globally, and trying out new razors. He shaves his head primarily, but has been known to shave anywhere head to toe in order to test his razors. He likes puns and looking at the ocean. The Leaf Razor is the world's first multi-blade pivoting head safety razor, bridging older safety razors with modern ergonomics. The Leaf Razor's goal is to make the world of shaving plastic-free more accessible by making it easier, faster, and safer. Adam and I chatted about launching Leaf Razors, differences between cartridge and safety razors, why sustainability, carbon neutral, and eco-friendliness is at the heart of Leaf Shave Razors, and more. So without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Adam. Adam is the co-founder of Leaf Shave. Leaf Shave Razors are safety razors that are 100% plastic-free and made for everyone. Hello, Adam, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for taking the time to be here. Can you please tell everyone about Leaf Shave, how it got started?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you noted, I'm the co-founder of Leaf Shave. I have another founder. His name is also Adam. So we just hire Adams at the company.
Yeah, I wasn't sure who I was going to chat with because I saw the photo of Adam and Adam.
Yeah, I'm the bald one. we started Leaf Shave. It's an interesting question, actually. So we're both engineers. We had met at another company that we were working at. We designing medical robotics for orthopedic surgery. And we really liked working together. He ran the engineering group, I ran the marketing group. So we had really nice complementary skill sets, and we wanted to do something once that company was kind of done on our own. And we thought about a few different ideas, but what really caught our eye was what was happening in the shaving world, as boring as that might sound, with Dollar Shave Club and Harry's and all these companies that were kind of bringing new products onto the internet, but they were the same products that like Gillette or Schick was selling, just like half the price, right? And we saw nothing but opportunity in that space. So if we could actually develop a new type of razor, we thought we could carve out a nice little niche for ourselves and grow a business. What some people might not understand or might not know about Leaf Shave is that we didn't set out to make the most sustainable razor. We set out to make a better razor, period. And it turned out that a better razor was better for the earth around us and solved a lot of problems that that went wrong with traditional shaving in the modern world. So it took us a few years of R&D, really working nights and weekends to figure out how to actually make a new type of razor. And I'm really actually pleased to say we truly did achieve that. As of last week, we got our first US patent issued around the product. It's taken 4 years of hard work with the patent office to actually get that guy issued. But it's indicative of the fact that our razor truly sits in a new category. It blends what makes safety razors really nice. They're all metal body, the use of safety razor blades, which are very high quality blades, and of course, no plastic, along with the modern features that make the Gillettes and Schicks nice to shave with, pivoting head, multiple blades, really nice and easy to use and shave fast. So after we figured out what the product was going to be, we went to the market and we did a Kickstarter in 2016, supported by 1,400 very lovely individuals who helped us bring this little guy to life. And it's been a wild roller coaster ever since.
Congratulations on your US patent. That's so exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, we're very excited.
Was that one of your goals starting out?
It was, you know, we've risked a lot to start this company. We're completely bootstrapped, so self-funded up through and including the Kickstarter was kind of the first outside money, so to speak, the really pre-orders and people taking a risk on us. So that was really nice. And as we grow the business, we've been blessed to be able to, for example, you know, create jobs throughout the pandemic. And that's something that really feels nice as the business has grown and people have found a way to shave plastic free. And we're so happy to give it to them.
I think it's so interesting and incredible, like you said, that you set off to make the best razor or, you know, one of the best razors. And it is sustainable and it is eco-friendly. So I think that's incredible that that might not have been the end goal, but it's something that happened along the way.
Yeah, I am so excited that that actually happened. I mean, we definitely had we had an understanding that this was something that where this could potentially go by virtue of the fact that we named the company Leaf, right? It was purposeful. It took a lot of time to figure out, you know, what to call this business. You know, we didn't want anything hypermasculine or hyperfeminine because we truly are a gender neutral or a non-specific razor. If you've got hair in a body, we're happy to help you shave from head to toe, literally. And then, you know, the Leaf comes in because, you know, it was really evident that all of these companies, the old legacy brands, as well as these new internet shave brands, as much as, you know, we love a good innovative story, they're contributing to the problem of, you know, we estimate more than 3 billion plastic razors in the US alone sent to landfill each year. It's just so unnecessary when you can get an amazing shave without the use of plastic. So it seemed like a no-brainer for us, and we've embraced it to the point where it's really hard-coded into our company's DNA now. We achieved climate neutral certification last year as we offset our entire carbon footprint. You know, unfortunately, it takes carbon emissions to make industry move around. And so, you know, step one on our way to finding ways to be carbon zero is to at least be carbon neutral. And so we finance initiatives to offset that carbon emission throughout the business process from both raw materials through delivery to customer. You know, we're exploring B Corp certification. You know, we do our best to make sure our offices are all plastic free too. And we really embraced it. And it's I've learned so much and I continue to each day.
That's so incredible. And it sounds like there's so many exciting things on the horizon.
There are. Yeah, we're just getting started.
And I think it's also important to note that that's the carbon neutral specifically is a big thing for a small business to take on as well, because that's you know, research and time and money that you have to spend to do that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a timely conversation because, well, we get recertified each year, and I'm actually in the middle of that process right now with our third party certification entity. And it is an enormous amount of work. But it's also like really good work because the questions that we're asked to look at help us better understand our business. And, you know, knowledge is power, as they speak, and you can't understand where to improve if you don't measure it. So it's a worthwhile endeavor.
And can you please tell, for those people that don't know, the difference between a safety razor and a cartridge razor?
Absolutely. So a safety razor, it's a fascinating, I mean, I'm a razor geek. I could talk all day about this. But so safety razors were invented around 1900 by a name you might recognize, King Gillette. His name was literally King Gillette. And he came up with this device that used metal blades. So previously people were shaving with what you might think of as like a straight razor, an unguarded blade, like a cutthroat razor that you put against your skin.
Like Sweeney Todd style.
Todd, exactly. Super okay. Dangerous. And the term safety razor came around because he basically put a guard in front of the blade. And it's a kind of a misnomer now because safety razors are actually they can be pretty challenging to shave with depending on which variety you get. They're still pretty technique driven. They're just safer than an unguarded razor. Now, the modern razors, cartridge razors, took that the next step, and those are truly quite very safe because they added a few innovations, amongst them a pivoting head. So in a traditional safety razor, you need to maintain the blade angle as you're shaving between the razor blade and your skin. And that takes some technique, understanding pressure, and it's definitely doable. You know, they're really good razors. And if you're willing to spend the time to learn them, you can get a great shave. It takes a little bit more time though. So a cartridge razor added a pivoting head, and that's what allows you to whip them around and shave as quick as you want. And it's pretty hard to nick yourself, although it's, you know, still shaving, so you can always still cut yourself here and there. And the blend of those two is where our flagship razor, the Leaf razor, lies.
So as you mentioned, you have the Leaf Shave razor, and then you also have a razor called the Twig. So from my understanding as a consumer, the Leaf Shave razor, that is, you can put 1 to 3 blades, and then the Twig is just one blade. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, okay. We're really excited for the Twig. So the they're a little bit different. The Leaf is definitely the flagship. It's our premium razor. You know, it certainly carries a premium price tag for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons why it's priced the way it is. But it's actually, it's the game changer. The Twig is our second razor joining the lineup, and you're correct, it's a single blade razor. It's more of a traditional safety razor. It does not have a pivoting head, but it does have a bunch of leafy magic sprinkled on top. It sits somewhere between a traditional safety razor and like the Leaf razor on the ease of use scale. Still takes some technique, but it's been really tuned nicely. In particular, it's a response to two things. One, our attempt to continue to, as we grow, increase accessibility to shaving plastic free. So it does clock in at about 30% lower on the price scale than the Leaf razor. So hopefully achieving better accessibility for people who can't afford the Leaf. And then number two, it along the lines of like the right tool for the right job, the Twig really excels at, for example, shaving small, concave, more intimate areas. You have a little bit more precision with it because it's that single non-pivoting head. It's great for like lining around beards or, you know, shaving behind your ear or whatever. So, you know, it does open up our market to different folks who the Leaf isn't a great fit for. We think the Twig might be a great fit for them. So we're really excited that's launching actually Monday, February 1st. So
oh, it's coming up. And so I don't know anything about engineering, but I'm really interested about your design process. And you said you have an engineering, both you and Adam have backgrounds in engineering. So can you tell me a little bit how that process went? Like what challenges maybe that combination of the traditional safety razor and then the pivoting head?
Yeah. It's razors are hard. You know, you're talking about putting a blade against skin and you finding that balance between being effective in that it shaves hair and not being so ineffective that you're not shaving anything, but you don't want to go too far in either direction. So there's certainly a few very specific engineering challenges around making a razor. Our process is pretty straightforward. We dive into first into like understanding how razors work, you know, the different metrics that affect how a blade shaves. There's the things like blade exposure, angle of attack, you know, the leading gap between your guard, how much blade is exposed on top. There's all these different metrics, about a half dozen that you can tweak in various permutations to achieve the result. And then that's just the blade part. Now you're talking like, okay, how are you going to load it? How is it going to move? You know, these are mechanical things that have moving parts, which means not all of them are going to be great every 100% of the time. You know, sometimes things are going to break, and how do you make it last, you know, years and years and years? And to be honest, like shaving is kind of a rough environment too. You know, people have lots of different types of waters, hard water, soft waters. You know, they might use oils in their shave or soaps that have different like pH or acidic levels. And, you know, they might take care of their razor really well, or they might never clean their razor for years. And you're like, whoa, man, how's this gonna end up? So there's a lot of like longevity challenges around engineering these things too. The Leaf was really tested mostly on just Adam and I, and out of the gate, you know, when we're designing it, and so a lot of bloody faces and parties averted while we're designing it. The Twig was really kind of fun because we actually sent about 4,000 or 5,000 prototypes out to early Leaf razor customers, and we had them test these things. So we gathered feedback from a bunch of them, and I like to think about it as like the razor designed by 5,000 people. And so it's really, really a nice product because it's been tested so many times over a bunch of different types.
That's so incredible. Like I said, I don't know a lot about engineering, but that whole process, what I was interested in, and I'm happy you mentioned it, was like the angle of the razor, the blade. Because I wouldn't even know where to start with that.
The Leaf razor is a really interesting challenge there because it's multiple blades stacked on each other, which there's never been a safety razor like that. So, you know, we had to really invent some new ways to construct that mechanism, and just like getting it made, manufacturing it. There's actually like six different sub manufacturers that touch the product. And there's the twig looks simple. It's got 16 different parts. The leaf, you know, looks a little bit more complex. It's like 20 different parts. Like there's a lot that goes into these things.
And as you have experienced the carbon neutral and being more sustainable and eco-friendly, I was wondering if you could tell me how that has benefited you and how you think that'll benefit the Leaf Shave, the company.
Well, it's really important to us because, like I mentioned before, I've learned a lot about kind of my own personal footprint, which has been, you know, good personally in finding ways to cut down on waste and make well-considered purchases in my life. But it's also really important to our customers, and that's it's a pretty big differentiator for us. There's not a single piece of plastic across our product line, or all the way down into shipping, for example, and packaging materials. So, you know, it drives, it's a key design input. So it drives all the decision making. It doesn't drive it necessarily, but we always have to gut check against that because our customers hold us accountable for that. And I'm really excited by that because if we, you know, sometimes, I mean, look, there's a lot of things going on. If we miss something, like, you know, if we don't communicate something the right way, or if there's like a material that we're using that, you know, is suspect and we didn't catch it, I'm confident our customers will catch it and bring it to our attention. And then we can take a closer look at it. I like to say we're never perfect, but we're always improving each day or each month, each year. And I think that's what benefits the company, because if we've got a charter that is bigger than just make products, sell products, then that's something that our employees can like rally around. That's something that can keep, you know, give us a guiding light when we're developing new things. So it's really, really important.
It sounds like your customers are kind of your market research team almost.
Biggest advocates and lattice partners. We love them.
And when you were designing it and not using plastic, can you tell me more about the materials that you use and if there were any barriers or extra steps you felt like you had to take to be plastic free?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, plastic actually at its core is a very, very amazing material. I mean, you can do so many different things with it. It's so easy to manufacture and it lasts forever. The downside is it lasts forever. So, you know, that's kind of what we're trying to avoid. So yeah, there's a lot of challenges around like finding the right materials and designs so that, you know, they've got like the right, you know, especially when you're talking about metal parts that are moving against each other, you know, like, does it squeak? Does it catch? Whatever. Plastic has really nice like motion properties. So we did have to spend some time on the design side to like figure out how to engineer around that constraint. The base material for the razors is a zinc alloy. And so zinc's a really abundant natural metal resource. It's, you know, mined all around the world. There's problematic ways to mine zinc and there's very responsible ways to mine zinc. And so that, you know, and that's actually a really good, that's a really good like question to ask a company like us, which is like, where's the raw materials? Where do they come from? And how are they sourced? And that's actually something that we're definitely not perfect at. Because when you talk about raw materials in the supply chain, that goes really deep into where things are coming from. And it just takes time and scale for us to even get attention to and be able to guide those decisions. So we've been able to do some of that as we've grown and we'll continue to do moving forward. But zinc in general is a really good material. It's very recyclable too after use, which is nice because the end of life for our razors, not just the blades, which are just pure steel and can be recycled, if a razor breaks for any reason, and they do carry a warranty, we take them back and their end of life is just recycled through scrap metal. So it's truly a closed loop. It's awesome. Then there's some small bits in the head of the razor, which are stainless steel. They're really, really small parts. So the steel provides extra rigidity and function there. And then the whole thing is finished for corrosion resistance, because you want to kind of keep rust and corrosion away for as long as possible. Kind of an immutable law of physics: water plus metal plus time equals rust. So, you know, we try to guide our customers on caring for their razors well and keeping them well cleaned and stored dry as much as they can. The wheels won't fall off if you keep it in your shower, but just, you know, care for it well and try to keep it under out of the constant stream and let the finish do its job in protecting the underlying material. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of like how I see it. You're kind of buying the Mustang of razors. So you want to, you know, you wax your Mustang, you give it the right oil, you know, you do all the best things. So that's how I see the Leaf razors, is you treat them right because they're going to last a really, you know, a long time.
Yeah, we live in a throwaway culture. I don't want to throw that term around, you know, nonchalantly, because
convenient, yeah, kind of a convenience culture.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I mean, hopefully these razors are, they're definitely an investment up front, right? So they cost some money, and I hope that people care for them like they would something that they, you know, spend money on and want to last. Just care for the things that matter.
I believe on your website you say, but in the long run, you save money about three. If every American got this, you'd save $3 billion saved annually?
Yeah, the U.S. population spends something like $3+, and that's conservative, $1 billion on disposable plastic razors every year. So yes, a safety razor like Leaf is going to cost more up front. But actually, you know, the average Dollar Shave Club member spends between, you know, $6 and $9 a month on blades, which is means that you're getting a return on your Leaf razor in about a year. But after that, you're spending, you know, $2 to $5 on blades forever. And they can be recycled. I mean, it's like a no-brainer if you can afford. And I'm really sensitive to the fact that, especially during the pandemic, you know, not everyone can come up with, you know, $40, $50, $60, $70, $80 to invest in the razor, even though it will save them in the medium and long run. And so that's definitely something that, like, we think really hard about. And I think that, you know, as we go, you know, the Twig is a nice step because it lowers the entry price point into shaving with us. And we'll continue to look for ways to do that. We offer like Klarna on the website now. You can split payments over like six weeks, I think, which does also help lower that barrier. But we'll never, like, I would never look down on someone who can't afford it up front, even if they're spending more over the course of a year on disposable blades, because it's just, you know, it's just hard. It's hard out there. So we're very conscious of that.
And I think a lot of people as well, if they look in the maybe sustainable or eco-friendly realm, some things are, like clothes might be at a higher price point, mm-hmm. but it's hard too, because the general public is used to a lot cheaper goods because of labor, mm-hmm. because of materials, because of what have you. So I think it's hard. I could only imagine how hard it is to come up with something. And then it is at a bit of a higher price point, but like you said, it will, you know, pay dividends, you know, for years.
I think it's priced personally, I think it's priced really well for the value it brings. So yeah, we do. I mean, you won't find us like discounting every month and 40% off sales. Like, that's just not, we want people to respect the price of the product because it will last a long time. That helps engender respect for the product itself as they care for it. And we're also, like, you know, we're trying to build and grow a business where I firmly believe the bigger we get, the better impact we can have on the world, which means that does require us to like sell the product for more than it costs us to make. That's like basically business 101. Most businesses should do that, you know, and I think, I hope, hopefully, and able to communicate to our customers why we do that. And, you know, the ancillary benefit is, like, you know, to our communities, right? So the more we grow, the more the more jobs we can create and the more products we can impact through innovation to like cut down on waste. And, you know, we have big plans, but there needs to be some engine behind that. And that all goes into the price of the product as well. And we're just trying to be responsible stewards of that money.
And I assume that a lot of your customers too are going to be very loyal to you.
I hope so. I hope they're making a bet on us being able to provide them, you know, great products and solutions moving forward.
Yeah. And I think because you're a maverick, I think, in the shaving industry. So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So someone looking, you know, if someone is very sustainable or eco-aware and hasn't been able to find a razor like this for a long time, you know, or someone just starting out or moving into it, dipping their toe in the water. It's great.
Yeah.
You are a maverick. Come on.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. You know, we're just trying to put our head down and do some good. So, yeah. How did you find us, by the way? I'm always curious how people find us.
Yeah. Instagram. And I cannot tell you specifically if it was I don't know if you do sponsored ads on Instagram or if it was someone that I follow when they just so happened to use one. But then once I saw you, it was like everywhere.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, that's the beauty of online stuff.
Yeah,
it might have the been algorithm. Either. You know, we do, we do like to partner with really sustainable or eco-focused creators who, you know, that to spend their time communicating on their platforms to their audience. And that's a really nice way to put eyeballs in front of Leaf.
I've noticed that the creators or people that I follow for sustainability, when they talk about their Leaf razor, they really interact with the community as well, with their community. And so if someone has a question, like they're also answering questions, which I really appreciated.
I actually really enjoy that part. I usually handle most of the communication with them, and I would call some of them friends now. You know, we've been working with them for the last couple of years in some scenarios, and I think, you know, we try to partner with good people and who are doing good, and also it feels good for us to be able to support kind of like out in the community, and they're part of the community doing good. So it goes both ways, definitely.
And so switching gears a little bit, I want to talk about kind of the personal grooming industry. Are there other areas of the personal grooming industry that you see to be really wasteful? And I'm not sure if Leaf could do anything about it, or what do you think could be improved maybe?
Yeah, I think it's all pretty wasteful. You know, it's just by virtue of the fact that the big conglomerate companies, you know, doing, you know, they're not all evil, right? But the where we've gotten where we are is through, you know, in particular, we care about like plastic waste as like a key area of differentiation, and personal care is just rife with it. And that's also why you're going to see a lot of companies, kind of sister companies to Leaf, that are, hey, can we reduce waste? Can we find something that, you know, delivers us in a different vehicle? It's a lot of like packaging focused solutions or like channel distribution solutions, which they're interesting. They're less interesting to us because we are, you know, Adam and I, we like to make new products. And so unless like we can really make a product itself new, we're less likely to tackle the problem, because I think there's a lot of other people making packaging solutions different, you know, and that's great. And so it's awesome. And I'm a user of many of them. But we do have our eyes on a few areas, which I can't talk about right now, but that we have in particular, like product focused innovations that we think are potential game changers for people got these problems. And you'll see Leaf expand out of razors over the next 18 months or so into some adjacent categories that make sense. And we're really excited for that.
That's so exciting. So how I see it as well is, like you said, the packaging is very wasteful, and there's plastic, and there's also not plastic that is also not great, whatever mm-hmm. other material that may be. And I think we as consumers have been taught, at least I would say in the Western world, or at least in the US, that you don't want to reuse something, or like it's gross, you know, you need to throw it away, or it needs to be out of your life. And, you know, does that make sense?
It totally does. I mean, look, secondhand is, you know, it's funny. Yeah. It can, and I've been look, I've been struck up by this too, but you know, you get into this world of finding kind of more eco-focused solutions, and there's really good ones out there. But often the most eco-focused solution is the thing that you already have. And so, you know, instead of going and buying a bunch of, you know, metal containers to replace my plastic ones, like I should just keep using my plastic containers, because that's ultimately kind of the better solution. And actually that does lend its hand into Leaf and Razors. You know, we will often counsel and caution users who are considering us to use up their plastic razors first, because they bought them, they're in the home, and like, what are you gonna do, throw them out? Like, that's at least use them. And then just don't buy any more, buy Leaf next, because then you can close the loop on your waste. But, you know, considering the ability to like reuse and use what's on hand is really important.
Yeah, and I hope that message can get out to a lot of people as well, because as I've been learning way more in depth, you know, really diving in, that's, you know, that's kind of just the common thread. And I hope, I don't know if in schools or, you know, there's always the reduce, you know, reuse, all of that. But I hope that that's also in that curriculum, because that's so important. And it's kind of, once you learn it, it's like, well, of course.
Yeah, I don't think it's in the curriculum. I think that's education is a really big problem in this area. And at least as Americans, like, we have two ways to vote: with our vote and with our dollars. And so, you know, voting with our dollars is something that, as you know, as our generations, you know, I'm a millennial, and then we've got all the ones below me. I don't know what they are. They're great on TikTok, but you know, the key is that these people, and it's our responsibility to vote with our dollars. So spend money with the companies that we want to support that are doing the right things. Teach our children as we have them about this thing. That's really the number one way to affect change over the long run. If we need to be, you know, carbon neutral by 2050, like, how the heck are you going to get there? Each individual needs to make a change, but also, frankly, businesses and industry needs to make huge sweeping changes, because we affect so much of what happens out in the world.
We're all in this together. We all need to.
We are. It's only one Earth.
And my last question is, what makes you feel inspired in the shaving industry or personal care industry?
Interesting. So I'm inspired by the work we're doing. Just kidding.
Well, I was going to say, you're very inspiring, I'm sure, for other people, other companies, maybe people looking to do a Kickstarter. I don't know.
I mean, you know, because, you know, I talked a little bit about industry, but like, if you've got a good idea, you should make it happen. Honestly, starting a business is not as hard as a lot of people think. So anyways, I'd highly encourage it to anyone out there thinking about it. But, you know, there recently I've come across, I don't remember the organization, I can look it up and send it to you after, but there's a organization which I think we're doing some initial vetting, or someone on the team is right now, where it's all about plastic neutralization. Not unlike carbon neutral, where you're offsetting, you know, carbon emissions. Plastic neutral would be like, let's say I'm Procter & Gamble. So for every plastic razor I sell, I pull the equivalent, you know, weight of that plastic razor out of the sea in plastic, you know, and so I kind of keep it neutral. Now, that's not something, you know, we're plastic zero anyway. So, but seeing companies take those plastic neutral initiatives and trying to like finance offsetting initiatives is a really good first step. Now, I'd love to see them go plastic free, or for Leaf to just take over the razor world. But I think that's really interesting, and we're going to look in ways to support that that mission, even if we end up becoming like plastic negative. So for every non-plastic razor we sell, we pull another plastic razor out of the ocean. That'd be really cool. That's on my horizon right now, and I'm kind of excited for it.
Oh, that sounds incredible. I think the idea of being plastic negative, as you said, is maybe where we all need to be starting to head towards, you know, instead of not one for one, which is great, you know, kind of one for, you know, two.
I've got a great way for everyone here to walk towards plastic negativity. I'm going to use that phrase. I like that. But, you know, as you're walking on your road, if you see a plastic Coke bottle on the side of the road, pick it up and recycle it. So boom, you just become plastic negative because you pulled something out of the environment and tried to put it somewhere a little bit better. So that's one thing we can all do.
I grew up very outdoorsy. So it's like you always leave the place you camp or leave the place that you hike better than you found it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're all figuring that out as we go, but at least we're thinking about it.
Well, that's all the questions I have for you.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk. You know, if anyone is ever interested in just connecting with me to ask questions about Leaf or starting a business or whatever, I'm always happy to talk with people. You can find me on Twitter or just connect with us at asimone@leafshave.com. Happy to answer emails.
Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thanks.
And I wanted to thank Adam again so much for being my guest. I really had a pleasure chatting. And all of the links for Leaf Shave will be in the description. Thank you so much for listening.